I can remember when Kathy and I first met, it was not in church. It wasn't anywhere near church. Oh, there was a lot of singing and dancing going on, but but you know, we fell in love and she got saved and I recommitted my life to the Lord. And you know, we were in church, and for years we were in so many services where the whole aspect of giving was based upon, you know, what we were going to get. And you know, if you want to be blessed and don't want to be cursed, and you want to see family saved and all this, and on it goes. And well, you know, we just believed it. I mean, like anybody else. And the mistake that we made was not studying to show ourselves approved unto God. And we did not understand what we refer to as the laws of meditation, where, you know, you just read everything in order and keep it in context. And when you think about it, it's really interesting, because when we're raised in school, we're taught the laws of meditation without realizing it. Because when they assign us a textbook, we start in chapter one. Especially if it's like a, you know, a physics textbook. You don't want to start in chapter 12 until you've worked your way from chapter 1 through chapter 11 and you understand all of those basics leading up to chapter 12. But then when we get to the Bible, it's like we just turn that all around and we just figure we're going to understand everything God's trying to show us if we just jump in the middle of a book, in the middle of a chapter, in the middle of a verse. That's how there's all this confusion. Well, see, we didn't do that. So we just accepted everything that we heard. And we heard all the same things that many of you have heard. You're going to be blessed and you're going to have, you know, all this money and all these things. And so we were excited about that. And we were looking forward to having all that money and all those things. Because, by golly, we knew we were important to us. And even if Kathy didn't want the best, I did. Of course, I knew if I got the best, she'd partake of it. Share it with me. But, you know, it was like that for a long, long time. And the preachers, honestly, they were trying to help. But that's all they knew. And I look back on it now and I realize, you know, so many of those preachers I had taken, they were not only in the pulpit, but I had taken them and put them way up there on a platform in my life. And a lot of what they taught, it was absolutely true. A lot of it was truth and helped me and you know, got me on a right track, if you will, for many things. But I put them way up there on a pedestal without finding out if that's what I was supposed to do. You know, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So you follow somebody who's following Christ, well, that's okay. And, you know, the time goes by. You start getting into the Word and there's a contrast. There's a major contrast in this, because those preachers that were preaching that, you know, they looked good and they drived well and they lived well and all of this. And I'm not criticizing that, but they definitely benefited personally from all of these offerings. But I never saw a pattern of consistency when it came to the people giving in those offerings living equally as well. I never saw it. Oh, every now and then you hear a testimony, you know, well, you know, I got blessed and all that. Well, praise God for it. I'm happy for your blessings. But if it worked the way it was supposed to, everybody would be having all of this. I mean, you know, we would all have it. You see what I'm saying? You know, the thousands of people and tens of thousands in the Crusades and all of this that goes on, we would all have it. And, you know, you figure after a few decades of giving like that, something ought to break somewhere. Even if you don't keep the ledger of my 30-fold and 100-fold return, yeah, even if you don't do that, and you don't know how much God owes you, you know, something still ought to break somewhere. And we grasp for straws. You know, I remember one time some friends of ours gave us a new mattress and box springs, because ours was just, it was old and worn out. And so they gave us a new mattress and box springs. Well, you know, that's the kind of a thing to where after, you know, 10 or 15 years of sowing seed and sowing seed and sowing seed, and somebody comes along and gives you a mattress and box springs, it's like, hallelujah, this sowing and reaping stuff, it really works. But if you do the math, 10 years of sowing and reaping gets me nothing but a box springs and a mattress. Come on. It's got to be better than this. And yet, you know, it just goes on and on. And the same thing today. Watch television. It's still going on. And I'm not trying to speak poorly of all of those preachers. But guys, they're wrong. You know, they're wrong about that. It does not work the way they present it. It doesn't. And one of the things, you know, Brother Gary was sharing in the offering the other night about Paul and what he wrote in Philippians, and how he wrote here that in Philippians 4:10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. How can you possibly be content when things are going lousy? Well, I mean, he tells you here in a couple of verses where he says, well, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So therefore, I can be content because I know there's going to be the strength to do what I need to do. And then in verse 12, he says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And, you know, if you take that 12th verse and you just use it in the English, it makes it almost look like that God made Paul struggle just to teach him a lesson. Well, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying, and it's kind of King Jamesy, but what he's really saying is, look, I've been through lack and I've been through abundance. I've experienced both sides of this. And I know what it's like to go through struggles. I know what it's like to go through hardship. Because these things happen in my ministry. This stuff goes on. He says, but look, the bottom line is this. I can still do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And he talks about a little bit later on in this fourth chapter how that during a period of time in his ministry, there was only one group of people that gave into his ministry. And that was these folks here, the Philippians, the people in Macedonia. Well, you know, I got to thinking about this. Now, the preachers that are telling me, you know, well, you got to give and you've got to sow, and they use things that Paul wrote to emphasize this to us. You're going to be blessed and you're going to get and reap and all this other. And it's like, hallelujah, praise the Lord. The thing is, if that worked exactly the way they say, then how in the world could Paul have ever gone through seasons of lack? How? If this worked the way they say it works, Paul would have said something about, and I gave unto the Lord, and he blessed me abundantly, for my seed was honored by the Savior whom I serve. And therefore I say unto you, my God shall meet all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, if your seed abounds greatly into his kingdom. Now that sounded pretty good. You understand what I'm saying? If what Paul wrote was supposed to be used the way these preachers are using it, then Paul wouldn't have said, you know what, I've gone through financial struggles myself, and at times it was really, really bad. And at times, nobody gave to my ministry but you folks. You know what that tells me? That tells me he wasn't going from church to church saying, if you sow into my ministry, God is going to bless you abundantly. Because if he was saying that to all of these different churches, then he wouldn't have had to say for a period of time, you were the only ones who were giving into my ministry. That right there tells you Paul didn't teach this. You know what it also says? It says that these preachers who are using Paul's writings to teach the other way are misquoting and abusing the Word of God. Now, I thank God for His mercy. And I'll be honest with you. In the very early years of my ministry, yeah, I said too much about tithing. I said too much about seed. I admit it. I did it. But thank God for His Word and thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for meditation. Because when you turn yourself over to those things, then God is able to keep all of this in context. He'll show you. He'll show you. And this morning we're going to receive an offering. And I want you to know that what you give today is not going to cause the windows of heaven to open. You see, I have good news for you. Jesus opened those windows 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. They're not going to shut. I mean, it says right there in Romans, you know, God freely gave us His own Son, so how in the world can He not freely give us everything else? Whatever that is. Whatever that is. Stop looking for all the earthly blessings. Start looking for the spiritual increase. You know, thank God for a vehicle that runs. Who cares if it's a Mercedes? Now, if you want to give me one, God bless you. You guys understand what I mean. So, this morning, you know, just bless the Lord. And one thing I want to emphasize is this. If you're struggling trying to figure out, do I give in this offering? Or do I guarantee that I'll have enough money to buy the gas to get back home from this conference? If you're struggling with that, let me tell you something. You better hold on to that money. Because I'm not going to drive 500 miles to fill your gas tank up because you ran out on the way home. Guys, God's not after your money in this conference. He just wants to touch your life. And if He tells you to give, praise God, just give. And if He doesn't tell you to give, well then, be sensitive to the peace in your spirit concerning what you would purpose in your heart to give. So right now, let's just bow our heads. And Father, I'm asking You to minister to all of us who are here to help us understand what You would want us to give here in this service today and in any of the other services. And Father, if there are those who really are facing a financial hardship, I am asking, please minister to them and help them understand there's no condemnation if they don't give. Help them know that, Father, because You're our Father and You love us. And You meet all of our needs according to Your riches and glory by Christ Jesus, not according to someone who places themselves in a financial burden because they felt they had to give in the offering. Jesus, You are our Lord. And Father, I praise You that You are the God of provision.